is today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Today we discuss the American Pit Bull Terrier and an effort to repeal a ban on its ownership in Miami-Dade County. It's on this month's election ballot. The ban dates back to a 1989 County Commission resolution, which prohibited ownership of pit bulls. Of course, the dogs are still owned by many people, but the current question is whether breed-specific legislation is effective. Joining me now is veterinarian Dr. Ian Kupke of the Sable Chase Animal Clinic in Kendall. Welcome to you, Dr. Kupke.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on with us. Also in the studio is Adele Miedis of Canine Advisors, a dog training and canine behavior company, and he's an expert on breed identification and such. Welcome to you, Adele.
Thank you for having me here.
So the 1989 commission judgment was brought because of many attacks by these dogs. Perhaps it was an overreaction, but why should voters rescind it, Doctor?
Well, mainly because it does not appear to have worked. Since the BSL came live all those years ago, we still have dog bites, we still have dog attacks, we still have aggressive dogs. We have horrible numbers of good pit bulls that are euthanized every year at Animal Services.
There's currently about a $500 fine in Miami-Dade County for ownership.
If they're caught. But right. The million-dollar question is how many criminals obey laws. And so, ultimately, you've got a... I believe the county commissioners felt that something needed to be done. This was an awful attack that happened back in 1989.
A girl's face being absolutely bit in Kendall and
absolutely
other
horrific. No one can argue that. The issue, though, is whether the legislation that was enacted in response to that was the best solution for that problem. And I think that, and I believe many agree that history has proven that not to be the case. They've focused on a breed, when in fact the true problem is the owners of dogs should be held accountable for aggressive dogs' actions. Dogs are not born or made good or bad. They can be made into good dogs if they're brought up with compassion, education, appropriate response to inappropriate behavior. And you can also come up with a monster that could be a Chihuahua or a Lab or any other breed can be made into an aggressive dog.
Adele Miedis of Canine Advisors, the genetic aspects involved here, the American Pit Bull Terrier, but they're so interbred. How can one distinguish what is a pit bull and what isn't? It must be very difficult.
It is quite difficult, given that the pit bull comes from a series of different breeds in itself. It's very difficult to pinpoint its originality. But it's even more difficult for officials in Miami-Dade Animal Services, the field officials, to be able to properly identify what a pit bull is and what it's not. And the current hearing process in Dade County is a different kind of hearing process, not an actual courtroom, and it doesn't follow actual courtroom guidelines or laws. So it's very difficult for someone to disprove if the county decides that the dog is a pit bull, to the extent that in various cases we've actually supplied very credible research and DNA studies from specifically one of the major vet groups down here, Hollywood Animal Hospital, where they've done blood tests on animals specifically to prove that they're not pit bulls, and they show DNA of it, and the hearing process does not allow it because, in their words, DNA was not part of the process when the law was originally created.
So if it's a squat dog with a square jaw, a lot of people would just say, well, that's a pit bull then.
And if the people that are saying that is the county, now you have a huge burden on you to try to disprove that with the limited resources that they allow you to use. They don't even allow you to use proper legal guidelines in their current hearing process. They call it an administrative hearing. You're not in a courtroom. You're in a fold-out table, and the person doing the hearing officer, the magistrate, is rarely ever an attorney. The majority of the time, they're not. They're actually people that were put in many times by the same commissioners that are advocating for this law. And their advisor, the county's advisor, is the county attorney, who is also the person against you. So their magistrate gets information on the legalities and the processes of this hearing process from the same person that's against the resident. So the resident has very little actual rights in that case to be able to manage and prove that their dog's not a pit bull. We've had a number of cases where it's a boxer, American bulldog with cropped ears, and they call it a pit bull. And then we show DNA proof that it's not a pit bull. I bring in all sorts of proof that it's not, and they still call it a pit bull. And now the people are faced with a fine of up to $10,500 with a lien on their property if they own. If not, they put more pressure with a lien on the renter's property. And what they often will do, and you can just sit outside the hearing there, and the hearing office, which is on top of Water and Sewer in down in St. in the South Dade building, and you will see how they lead the people outside to a little corridor, and they make side deals with them away from the cameras. Those side deals are often, we'll let you off with $500 and give us your dog. And people crying, giving up their family pet that hasn't done anything. In some cases, the county had gone on a barking issue with a neighbor, and on their way out saw what looked like a pit bull, and then this entire case happened. The dog never did anything bad, with good with kids, lived with a cat. That dog got taken away and put down.
We're speaking with Dr. Ian Kupke of the Sable Chase Animal Clinic in Kendall, and also Adele Miedis of Canine Advisors. If you'd like to join in, you're certainly welcome to 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN, and also email radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org. Tell me, the idea that a banned dog species appeals to what my friend Miami Herald reporter Ellie Brecker talks about. It gives them a desperado cachet, the wrong dog for the wrong person. It's popular with gang members because it's banned. So there's sort of that cachet of being right. Bad, and they can goad them to being aggressive. Can that be reversed, Adele?
It can be reversed. Any dog can be rehabilitated as long as the person that's doing the rehabilitation knows what they're doing. The dog can be rehabilitated. That's a given.
Even Michael Vick's dogs wound up being
that's correct.
Put into comfortable homes.
Most of them were actually rehabilitated to the point that they even lived with other dogs, even though they were initially so mistreated and actually forced to fight with other dogs and conditioned to fight with other dogs. They were rehabilitated, the majority of them, to be in good homes, adopted by good families.
So, Dr. Kupke, is there really anything that you can call a dangerous breed? You mentioned that a Chihuahua, actually they bite more frequently than any other species from what I've read.
Well, there was actually an interesting study.
They don't have the power, but...
Well, no, not the power, but the American Temperament Test Society in February 2012 ran a comparative study of different temperaments, and interestingly enough, the pit bull ranked as kind as a poodle at 86%. So, literally, any dog can be made aggressive if it's treated poorly. There are various things that can certainly set a dog up for harm. If they're tethered outside, if they're locked outside in the heat without water, if they're poorly socialized, if they've been brought up without any love, exactly, beaten. And I think that one of the questions I'm often given when people find out that I'm interested in repealing this legislation is, well, what do you do? And the obvious thing is to make people responsible for the harm that poorly brought up dogs bring society. Enforce the leash laws. Neuter your dogs. Most pit bull attacks that have been documented are been from intact males, intact females. So spay and neuter. No logical reason not to spay or neuter a dog.
And obviously, having this ban, the species, the breed, has proliferated. People are going to have them anyway.
Right, so. Right. In fact, it's almost fanned the flames, having a ban. Like you say, it's made people who want
it
a dog
cool
for the wrong reasons.
To have a bad
it's
dog.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's take a call or two. First up, we have Walt in Pompano Beach. Hey, Walt.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
Hello.
In Broward County up here, I think we've got a few folks who maybe left Miami-Dade because of the ban. And about 6 months ago, I was walking my dog down the street in front of my house, and I saw at the end of the block two dogs wearing identical blue collars just standing in the middle of the pavement. And my first thought is, oh, that's interesting, two lost dogs. And the second thought is, oh, no, they're pit bulls. They rushed me and my dog, latched on one to his throat and one to his rear leg. And my dog is 130 pounds. And they began to tear him apart. It was all I could do, grabbing the leg of one of the dogs and kicking the other to get them off of my dog, from where they ran away down the street full of children playing in the middle of the street. I've heard a lot about breed-specific legislation. I'm active in dog affairs. I helped build the dog park in Pompano Beach. But I look at my experience and I say, this is a dangerous instrumentality. These dogs, which, by the way, their owners were never found. I called the Broward Sheriff's Office. They never were able to find the dogs or other owners. And I can only think of what would have happened if they had attacked those kids playing in the middle of the street. So those dogs were trained to act as a pack to attack and kill other beings. So I'll just, you know, share that experience with your guests and let them discuss it.
Canine advisors, Edel Miedes, what do you say to that?
Yes, thank you for sharing that experience. I had a very similar experience walking an American Bulldog, got attacked by a chow mix and a shepherd chow mix. And I don't think there should be a ban on chows or on shepherds either. But I tell you what, those people that had those dogs, whether they were pit bulls or not, oftentimes a Presa Canaria is identified as a pit bull. A Boxer American Bulldog, as I stated earlier, is identified as a pit bull. So oftentimes any dog that is of a certain size and with a square head, bully, sometimes ears cropped, sometimes not, they basically call the dog a pit bull or some sort of version of it. I don't know that these dogs were a pit bull specifically, but if they were, whether they were or not, the issue becomes irresponsible dog ownership. The fact that those pit bulls or those dogs that were there in that attack went right by the kids and over to the dog, very typical in the dog world. They do run in pack mentalities, and that goes across the board on every single breed. They're born with pack mentality. This is what I teach people day in, day out. So the fact that they just go past the kids and not hurt the kids is really important in itself. But again, the main issue here becomes the irresponsible dog ownership of those irresponsible people that kept those dogs, as opposed to any particular breed.
Doctor?
And I'd like to reinforce that. The big question that came to me with the gentleman's story was there were two dogs loose. And that is really the issue. It is not
the ownership problem.
It's the ownership issue. And we have vast resources of the city channeled towards enforcing or attempting to enforce a ban on pit bulls. Why do we have a loose dog problem? Perhaps more resources should be channeled towards attempting to address that issue. And I've lived in many cities that actually have a dog catcher. And I don't hear much about dog catchers in Miami-Dade. I don't believe we have the resources to do it. but the real issue was, why was the owner of those two dogs allowing them loose in a street full of children? And I would also be interested to find out if those dogs were intact. I'd lay money they were. They were intact.
Even
and they
stray,
were loose.
Stray mutts will form a pack. And,
especially if
and
they're
exhibit
intact.
That behavior.
Especially if they're intact. And there's no logical reason for a pet dog to be kept intact.
Let's move along. We've got Sean in South Miami. Thanks for your patience, Sean. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, I've been a Staffordshire owner, and I'm also I know Dr. Kupke. How you doing, Doctor? It's Lefty.
Hey, Lefty.
And I also own two bullies. I own a little French bulldog as well. And my experience with these dogs is, yes, like the other gentleman was saying, that the children and the humans aren't ever the problem. They're great, in my experience, they're great with all other people and humans and everything. And their only issue is their instinctiveness with game or small dogs or other animals, which unfortunately is basically bred in them. And I find it basically impossible to get rid of, because I've had one for 15 years and I haven't been able to resolve it. So I just appreciate everybody putting this on the ballot. I support the repeal of the law, and I hope that everybody, you know, that it works out well for us. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Okay. And we'll move along to Mary in Delray Beach. Hey, Mary.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm a pit bull owner. He's a rescue. I used to donate my time to a shelter that used to be up here in Boca Raton, and he was badly abused, this pit bull, and he came to the shelter with his neck wide open, and he needed surgery, and he was in very bad shape. He lives with us now in three chihuahuas, and he's a wonderful dog. He's well-behaved. He's lovely. He's kind. He's a lot of wonderful things. It pains me when I see that they point a gun at a particular breed. I mean, my understanding was a lot of this breed used to be nanny dogs, and they used to be very protective. So I don't think their inclination is to attack people. I just think that any dog, if it's in the hands of the wrong person, will have the wrong behavior.
Of course, Doctor.
Absolutely. And this is one of the issues we need to educate people about. Why is the pit bull the villain here? A number of studies have disproven this locking jaw myth. A gentleman, Dr. Brisbane of the University of Georgia, ran a study disproving that pit bulls lock their jaws. They have the same anatomy as any other dog. There's nothing mechanically advantageous in the pit bull jaw to make them any more dangerous than any other breed. They do not have 1,600 pounds per square inch pressure. Dr. Brisbane refuted that as well. Dr. T.E. Houston in 2003 also refuted this bite pressure myth. They're not genetically predisposed to behave aggressively. They are, in their hearts, like any other breed. You can turn a Chihuahua and turn them into a land shark if you raise them inappropriately.
Of course, with the pit bull, there's the association with illegal dog fighting and gambling,
right,
and such, and that still goes on in some of the rural areas of Broward and Miami-Dade. It's
very, very much. I read that they haven't encountered a legitimate dog fight in Miami-Dade for, 5 years? So
that's good to hear.
That's fantastic news. The people who run dog fights are going to do this whether the breed is legal or not. So the fact that this tendency has faded away is excellent.
Tell me, Adel Miedas, briefly, what's the process of when you have a dog who has been very aggressive, of calming him down and making him a pet that someone could take home and love?
As a dog trainer and behaviorist, what I would do is initially assess the animal. Assess the animal, meaning I want to check him for drive, temperament, and triggers. In drive, we're looking at prey drive and defense drive, see how the dog reacts on each. In triggers, we're looking at some positive and negative triggers, like perhaps somebody knocking on the door gets the dog all wound up, and the next thing is if somebody comes in the door.
Or the doorbell.
Or the doorbell, something like that. And then basically if somebody comes in the door when the dog is all wound up, they might just get bitten, whether it's any particular breed. But the idea is that if they get all hyped up like that and somebody comes in, that might be the wrong time to do that. So you need to control the dog, give him a little place command. He goes to his place, lay down. Mm-hmm. People come in. If you want the dog to greet, you give him the okay to greet. Those are all things that are rather simple to condition in a dog. But yet the majority of the people oftentimes will wait till something very harsh happens, like a dog bite or some sort of scaring situation like a lawsuit, and then they want to go ahead and hire a trainer to take care of those issues.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left. Back to our callers. This is Adri in Miami. Hi there.
Hi there. Thank you. First, I want to commend you guys for airing this and you know, being part of the solution, and education is our biggest problem. We need to educate people more and more. They're not villains. They're wonderful dogs. I live with several, and I am the mother of two small children, a four-year-old and a seven-year-old, and we share our home together, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to have these animals in my home. I try to speak to people every day and tell them they're not what the media sees. They're not what they make them out to be. They're like any other big dog that needs love and discipline, and they're just big babies. Really, they are.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
And we move along to John in Miami.
Good afternoon.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys, I am for the ban and will vote accordingly for that because I have worked in a level one trauma center for several years, and I have seen countless people bitten, maimed from these dogs, along with even eventual death has occurred from these dogs. And I think that while, yes, it may be an ownership issue, we're not having a problem with Chihuahua bites or poodle bites. These dogs are very strong and, you know, in the wrong hands. So the only way to control this is to keep these dogs, you know, not in the household. And I'll take my comment off there.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Doctor.
I'm actually appalled at those statistics that I've read them myself. But to me, this is evidential proof that breed-specific legislation is not working. Because this legislation has been on the books for 23 years. Why is this gentleman still seeing pit bull attacks in a trauma center?
In Miami.
Clearly, the legislation is not working. We are not saying that something doesn't need to be done, or that attacks by dogs on people is not an important issue. What we're saying is that breed-specific legislation is not the solution for that issue. You need to go and take it back to the owners, enact dangerous dog laws that are breed neutral, focus on the behavior of the dogs, focus on dog owners being financially responsible for the problem, no more loose dogs, and basically address the problem to the people who caused the problem.
Okay, just a minute or so left. We've got Nicole in Miami. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a not-for-profit organization, and we've rescued several pit bulls through the course of our work here. And a lot of times they have come to us neglected, abused, mishandled, mistreated, scared to when you hold your hand over their heads. They cower in fear. They were deemed by others that they would never be able to be part of a family. And, you know, through integrating them in our household, I had a total of 6 dogs at one point in my house. And through loving and care and patience and training, daily walks with the rest of my pack, you see them start to come out of their shells and learn to be a dog again. And, the other gentleman who commented on his dog being attacked while he was being walked, I've been attacked by Chihuahuas rushing across the street to my big dogs. And, you know, I don't have anything against Chihuahuas. I just don't think that it's
Nicole,
a logical way to think about this. And
It's good to hear from you, but we have to be running. Thank you for calling in Topical Currents.
Thank you very much.
Well, I certainly want to thank you. We've been speaking with veterinarian Dr. Ian Kupke of the Sable Chase Animal Clinic, and also Adele Miedes of Canine Advisors. Gentlemen, how about contact info for our listeners, for each of you? Adele?
Sure. For me, it's canineadvisors.com, and you can definitely reach me there, learn more about what we do, learn about many of the pit bulls that we've worked with, specifically for service dog training and therapy dog work. And you can see phone numbers there on the website as well.
And Dr. Kupke.
And our website is www.sablechase.com, 305-595-1450. We're a family-owned business in East Kendall.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.